I want to read you one scripture. In Acts 2:46, you can read the rest of them around it for the context, but it said, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." There's one thing that text doesn't tell me is how long they did that. But they did it every day. Now, all you folks, and especially Bethel church members who have been laboring and working and doing all the menial chores that have to be done, it's a weariness of the flesh. It's a joy to the heart. But I had a question. How long could you keep... Now, this is the third day and then tomorrow yet. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. How long can you do that before the flesh wears you out? You know why they could do that? It doesn't say how long they did it, but if you go back and get the context, the Holy Ghost had fell on them. You talk about that song we sang a while ago with the high tune?
Yeah.
Now the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you forget about that weariness of the flesh. I feel like y'all got your second wind tonight in the singing. Amen, amen. But you know when that Holy Ghost fell on them? It said it sat upon them like cloven tongues of fire, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I tell you, when that Spirit gets a hold of you, you can go and go and go. What's that battery that just goes and goes? The Holy Spirit a lot better now. I've often wondered what it would be like to meet daily. I don't know how long, a month, 2 months, week, months. You couldn't do it in the flesh. With the Holy Ghost and Spirit and all that. You can go and go. I hope you're praying for these brethren tonight. That they'll have that go and go and go and just keeps going. I've asked Brother Jesse Stanlin. Strickland, huh?
I won't tell him to say that.
Well, I know a bunch of Stanlins. It's a different state. Brother Jesse Strickland to lead us in prayer tonight. Follow along with him. But as you pray along with him, if you know something back home or within your own heart or someone that's troubled in soul or heart or down and out or grieved over the loss of a loved one or someone that's in the hospital or sick. My mother was here all day yesterday in Kenneth. Mother overdone herself, I guess, yesterday, so she had to stay home today. And Kenneth stayed with her. Maybe they'll feel like coming in the morning, I don't know. Remember them, those two, in your prayers, too. Mother's going on 88. She's still got the spirit. She wants to be here. She really does. But she just don't have it. Sometimes it's right. Pray for her. Pray for one another. Pray for these brethren. Pray for Zion. Brother,
kind, gracious, all wise, ever to be praised, Heavenly Father.
Lord.
We approach thy throne of grace this moment through an avenue of prayer. We realize that words are inadequate to express the gratitude. We trust that we have a groan within our bosom that interprets for us the praise that is acceptable in thy sight. Righteous Fathers, we have felt the answering of our petitions in days gone by. During this meeting, thou hast manifest thyself so greatly and mightily among us that our hearts are cheered and our hearts take courage to fight a better fight of faith in the days to come. Righteous Father, would thou be pleased to accept our little feeble efforts to praise thy glorious name. Righteous Fathers, we would make a effort to remember those that have asked an interest in our prayers and those that we know it is our duty to pray for, even such as one that was just asked for. We don't even remember their names, Father, but much less their needs. We realize that Thou knowest all things, and not even a sparrow falls to the ground without Thy knowledge. We think about Thy greatness, O Lord. We say with the psalmist David, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Thank Thee, O Father, for the pouring out and manifestation of Thy presence among us. But ask Thy mercies to continue, because we realize we're unworthy of the very least the blessings that's been ours to enjoy, not only here this meeting, but all the days of our lives. But ask, Father, that Thou would look down upon this nation and see the condition. Thou would have mercy upon this nation for Thy church's sake, and that Thy people could continue to dwell together and be unified by Thy presence, be unified by Thy Spirit. Thou unify us now as we go further into this service. Take these brethren and use them to teach us, and may we stop, return to give Thee thanks. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Share Thy grace and mercy upon our iniquities and our efforts to praise Thy name, O Lord, anointed with Thy grace. Forgive us of our many sins, we ask in the name of Thy darling and righteous Son, who died for us, but is risen and seated on Thy right hand. It's in His name that we say amen.
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 Amen. I may be off, but not much, in my day. But Brother Gary and Sister Vicki was at a meeting at California that I was attending in 1977. And I got to know this young couple and watched their son and daughter grow up. And I've been over to Western Kentucky to Mountain Rise, been in their home, and they've been in ours. We've known them for a long time, about 22 years. They're old Baptists. They're from Mount Sterling, Kentucky. Brother Gary's very dedicated and spiritual-minded, and receive him attentively and pray for him, and he'll share with you for a few minutes to see what's on his heart. God bless you.
You notice he said young man. So don't let my age get in the way, please, Lord. Again, my mind and heart's really whirling. I had a lot of things I was going to say, but I'm not going to say it. I feel more comfortable if you go with God's Word. Just go over to Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 2. Let's start off with verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, if you haven't tasted that the Lord's being gracious to you this meeting, you just have not been hungry. You have not been hungry at all. The Lord has truly been gracious to us here during this meeting. And I trust and pray He'll continually bless us throughout the rest of this meeting. He is such, you know, takes it so gracious, you know, He's such a gracious God. But I really, I wanted to use that because I want to drop down to verses starting with 9:2. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Now listen to these words Peter's writing to the strangers scattered. What are they? Scattered out throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, I think we've seen some of that light too tonight, or today, or the last few days. I know we've seen the light. The Lord has given us such brightness in the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's been so gracious to us. He's been so wonderful to us. You know, He's chosen. We're a chosen generation. We've heard about the church. You know, we're also a chosen generation to be chosen in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful feeling to understand that you're a royal priesthood now. You know, we are priests and kings to God to this day. To be able to give praises and glory to the great high priest that we serve. And which it says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You know, as Peter writes this, and he's writing to the strangers, I believe this epistle that Peter is writing is to the, mainly to the Gentiles, I believe. See, these are the strangers. They're strangers, you know, to the household of Israel is what they were. Because he said there in verse 10, which in times past were not a people. You see, Israel did not consider them a people at all. They considered them as dogs. You know, that's you and I. There was a time back then when they considered just the Gentiles as dogs. But what are we now? Because of Jesus Christ, that's what we are now. But I want to go back. Really, I'm doing this because I feel more comfortable reading God's Word than trying to talk about myself. I can't talk about myself. I want to talk about the Lord. But it's over in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, I want to try to lay a little bit of groundwork with this. Because as the Gentiles were brought in to the fellowship of the saints, see, they now are the people of God. They now have access into God's holy Word. They've been brought in to enjoy those things that Israel has enjoyed for so many, many years. Now us Gentiles are being brought in, and they're newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Now, keeping that in mind, I want to also, the milk of the Word is what I'm after. Because over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 3:2, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 2. Well, let me go to verse 1. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, here's the difference. Also, Paul, when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, this was at a time that he had already been there. What? He preached to those people. He had set the doctrine in front of them for 18 months. They had been grounded. They had been grounded into the basic doctrines of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were settled. They had been settled. But of course, some Israelites, some Jews, some Judaizers came into there trying to overthrow their faith there at Corinthians. Things were going in an uproar. So, with the inspiration of God, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And he says, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unspiritual, but as in carnal, even as in babes in Christ. You see what has happened here at Corinthians. Those people had started going back to the law, doing things in the church, which was not what Paul had set out for them. He had set the things in order. Now they were doing things that were contrary to what Paul had told them. And he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. But hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither are you able to now because they're carnal. Now there is a time that milk is good for people, especially babes in Christ. And this is what those scriptures were talking about. There is a time that that each and every one of us, there was a time in our lives when we felt as we were babes in Christ. I felt like a babe in Christ when I first came to the church, and I was fed milk, and I was fed the God's Word. And you talk about enjoying it. I truly enjoyed the milk of the Word, didn't I? I enjoyed hearing about these things. I enjoy hearing about election and predestination and the depravity of man and preservation of the saints. I truly love to hear those things. And sometimes I still feel like I'm a babe in Christ. But I want to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Now over in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 it says this. Now here's what you pray. He says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Hebrew brother. And he says, therefore, you notice it was wherefore, which I believe is also therefore also. But here he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, that kind of sounds strange. That sounds a little bit different as to what Peter was saying, wasn't it? But there's no contradiction in God's Word. Peter is writing to a certain type of people. The babes, they were still babes in Christ. And Paul understood that Corinthians, they were going back to the law service and not wanting to move on. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here to the Hebrew, therefore leaving, and what he is saying there, he's not telling them to forget. He's not telling them to, let's forget about these things. He's not telling those people that. What is he telling them? He's telling them to move on now. Let's move on. This is what God's people need to do. Milk is wonderful. Milk is great. Milk is good. But now we're going into completion. The reason why the word therefore is there is because it's whatever they said, it was what there before. So what we need to do is look what was there before.
Yeah.
And which goes back to chapter 5. Now let's go a little bit back to chapter 5. And let's just start off with verse 12. This is just above chapter 6. He says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, we're not talking about chronological age here. This is not talking about it. This is talking about now. Let's move on. Let's leaving the principles. We want to go further and higher and higher. And what are we aiming for? Perfection. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Do you want to go to perfection? Do you want to move on to perfection? I do. You know what that perfection is? To be Christ-like. I believe it's to be Christ-like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want to do. I want to be Christ-like. I have a hard time not being Christ-like. I can understand what Brother Mark was talking about. These problems hit me all the time. You talk about not pleasing God. You talk about not being Christ-like. That worries me. That should worry every one of us. Because, over there also he said, we're to be holy as he is holy. That's very important. He didn't just say that just to say, well, if you decide you want to be holy, go ahead and be holy. We're to be holy. We're to be holy before him in love, in all things. That's what we're to be. We're to be holy before him. Now, then what Paul is telling them, therefore, they need to move on to perfection. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, let me say this before I get to really my text. I'll be very aware of the time. I'm not a beef cow. I can't.
I'm still exercising. I'm not a beef cow. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to just be a milk cow. I don't want to be just a milk cow sitting around teaching you people, you know, about grace and things and that. I do, you know, I want to move on too. And I want to be more than just a beef, you know, I want to be more than just a milk cow. I want to be a beef cow. Well, yeah, that may be a little pride there. That may have a little pride in it. But the things I think Christ teaches. Now here's what I consider meat for those that, you know, are interested in going on to perfection and going on to what Paul called the Hebrew brother. Okay? Now, the text then is over in Luke. Over in Luke chapter 14 or 15. Let me get it right. No, it's chapter 14. Luke 14. Got your Bibles? I want to read some scripture. Luke 14, starting with verse 25. This is the Lord now speaking. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now, the Lord had just spent some time with the Pharisees in one of their houses in lunch and taught them a wonderful lesson there. There's a great lesson that precedes this. But he says this, and there was a great, he leaves the house. And as he leaves, there went a great multitude with him. And he turns, the Lord Jesus Christ turns and says to the multitude, I believe we're the multitude. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, I want to drop down and go to verse 33. So, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what have we got here? What is he teaching us? Is he teaching us to be a child of God? No. Is he teaching us to be a church member? No. I don't think he's teaching us to be a church member. Well, I'll take that back. Is he teaching us to be more? That's it. Okay, he's not, because you can be a church member, I believe, because I've experienced myself. I was a church member, but you're talking about not being a disciple. I was not a disciple. Okay? I was a church member. I had my name on the books. And just about every Sunday, I'd get up and go to church. I'd even pray a little bit. And then I'd go out and hit the golf course, and then I'd come back and pray some more and go to church. Okay? I've done that. I've been there, done that. So I know what it's talking about. I believe this is talking about, this is not talking about even being a happy camper. This is talking about discipleship. That's exactly what the Lord is teaching me. This is important. This is very important. And I want to take something like Brother George Walker. I want to go at this backwards. I want to take these scriptures, maybe hit at it backwards. That's what I want to do with this. Let's look at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. How about you? Are you willing to forsake all that you have? Okay? That's what he's asking us. This is what the Lord's asking us. This is what he's talking about discipleship now. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord is not telling us. He's not just saying, okay, now, you know, get up and, you know, forsake your homes, forsake all your possessions, forsake your car, okay? Give up your job, you know, give everything up, and just, if you want to be my disciple, you got to forsake all of it. But you better be willing to do it. I guarantee you, this is not what he's telling you to do, but this is one thing you need to know. you better be willing to do it.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do this? He says there, are you willing to forsake not all that he had? He cannot be my disciple. And then the verse 27. Now look at verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Okay? Now, there's two things there. There's not one. He says, the new settler does not bear his cross and come after me. First of all, you got a cross to bear. This is not talking about the cross the Lord had to bear, even though I appreciate what Brother Euland taught about our cross. The cross we better be in line with the Lord's cross. You know, he had a cross to bear. And listen, our cross better be in accordance with what the Lord would have us bear too. Now, there's one thing, and this is talking about bearing our cross. This is talking about this. I believe this is talking about suffering. Okay? Are you willing to suffer? That's what he's asking. Okay? Not only are you willing to suffer, there's a lot of God's people. There's two things there. Okay? Not only is he must bear his cross, but he also says, come after me. Are you willing to come after the Lord? Follow the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. We not only need to suffer for his sake, we need to do and follow him wherever he leads us. We need to learn to follow the Lord. But then he says also in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father. Now, I'm glad somebody straightened that hate out, because I had looked it up. I said, you know, what do you mean? Lord, you don't want, you know, what do you ask me not to hate my father? No. He says, the word is, if any man come to me, because it says over in one of the other scriptures, that one of the other books, it talks about forsake. That's the word, you know, you can throw the word forsake there. If any man come to me and forsake not his father and mother and wife and children and brother, ancestors, yea, in his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Now, you know, are you willing? He's not telling you to do this again. The Lord is not telling us to hate or to forsake. We need to learn and understand what the Lord is teaching us. He's teaching us discipleship. That's exactly what he's teaching us. Are you willing? You know, are you willing to forsake? You know, there's times, I know it's happened in my life, and I'm sure it's happened in your times. Have you ever was going to go to church, and all maybe it's on a Saturday, one of the relatives, or your family, or your father, or your mother calls, says, hey, son, we're coming up. We're going to be here. You going to be here this Sunday? We want to visit you. Okay? Now, what are you supposed to do? What are you going to say? That's exactly what you need to do. What you have to do is say, Father and Mother, come up, because I'm going to the church. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I want you to serve Him with me.
Amen.
But if you won't, I'm going. And you can stay here and enjoy my house, because I want to serve the Lord. I want to put Him first. I do not want to forsake the Lord. That's what I want to do. And this is why, not only your father, mother, this is your children. Now, I've seen this happen so many times at the church that I first joined. You know, they family reunions. What day do they have it on? It's a good time to have it on a Sunday. It's a good time to get together with your children. Good time to get together with your family. And let's forget about church, because we can go there next Sunday. You know, we can always make it up. Can't you make it up?
No,
you cannot. You know, this is the one thing about this. I guarantee you one thing about this. This has to do with daily. This has to do with our service to Him daily.
Amen.
This is a daily thing that we need to do. We don't need to be pretending to, you know, to be Christians. We do not need to be pretending. We are serving the Lord. It's either be a disciple, or you're just going to be a member on the church books. That's what you'll be. You'll be one of the two. You'll be just a member on a church book, voting when time comes to vote, and doing the things and helping out here and there, helping out a little there. But this is not what the Lord teaches. And see, that bothered me. That really bothered me. Because I've been there, done that. See, I know all about this. But I really believe the key, the big key to this whole thing, I believe lies over in Corinthians. Colossians. It says this. I believe the key to this, and I'll close my remarks out, because I know there's two brothers following me. But over in Colossians, first chapter, verse 16, it says this. It says, "For by him were all things created." This is talking about the Lord and Savior. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is," here's the key, "and he is our Lord and Savior. He is before all things. And by him all things consist." Yeah. Now who are we talking about? We're talking about somebody that all things were created. How were they created? He spoke them into existence. Yeah. He didn't have to put some things together and create something. He created something out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. That's the power. That's our Lord. And see, he was there. He was there at the beginning. He was always there. He said, and it says he was there. "And for by him are all things created that are in heaven." He's created the heaven. "And that are in earth, visible and invisible." Now, we're not only talking about natural creations here, are we? We're talking about invisible things. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, before I want to straighten that out. The Lord is not in anything to do with anything evil. I guarantee you. Okay? He didn't create Satan. Okay? Now, he did create angels. I'll leave it that with you, okay? He did create angels. Okay? So, you take it whatever you want with that. Okay? Now, all things. And he is before, and here it is. And he is, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. You know, not only the church of the firstborn, the church that's going to be there, the church we heard about this afternoon, the visible church that we've come to day and, you know, every Sunday. I wish it was every day, Brother Hewitt. I wish it was. Of course, I'm in a position I could say that. I don't work. See? So I love to serve the Lord every day in church. But it's not possible. But I tell you one thing. You better. You deserve it. You deserve to. Okay? Because, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Here's the key. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. It's preeminence we're talking about.
Yeah.
All this consist. Now what those three things back there was, are you willing? Are you willing to give up possessions? All your possessions. This is what I'm asking you. This is what that lesson I believe is talking about. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. I'm not going to squabble with you, but I believe it's true. If you're not willing to give up all possessions, okay, that was one of them. If you're not willing to suffer all things that come upon you, that's the second. And if you're not willing to forsake all, then you have not put Christ first in your life.
Amen.
You have not caused him. He is not preeminent in your life. Okay? That's what that's talking about. Are you willing to do that? You know, that's the way, you know what, and I want to close with this. You know, you said, "Gary, Brother Gary, you're being hard." No, I'm not being hard. I'm not. This is not my decision. This is what the Lord says. This is not what I'm just conjuring up in my mind. This is what God says. Okay? And this is what He expects. He expects this. He expects to be preeminent in our lives. Now, are we willing to do this? And if you're not, then I suspect you better go ahead and start getting back to God's Word. You better start praying. You better start thinking. You better start praying. You better start... It left my mind what I was going to tell you to do. I'm sorry, but it was important. I guarantee you. It was important that in order to be a disciple of Christ, He's not telling us to play games. The Lord is serious. You know, preaching is serious. Everything that we do before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will never surprise Him. Will never surprise the Lord. You know, sometimes we surprise ourselves. I surprise myself sometimes. I surprise myself in realizing that sometimes I try to preach and realize I the Lord has not blessed me to preach. But I tell you one thing, it is a serious business. Preaching is a serious business. Because we, as God's people, need... I know I'm probably stepped on a few toes, and I apologize. You know, if I've offended one of the least of the little, of God's little ones, I would rather have a millstone cast around my neck than cast into the sea, if I've offended you. And I'm not up here to try to offend anybody here. But I am up here trying to tell you how important it is in being a disciple of the Lord and Savior. You know, I believe that from being a child of God to being a babe in Christ, in being a disciple of Christ, I believe there's another step that you can go to. I really believe that. And you know what that is? I believe then you can become a friend of God. I believe from discipleship, you can be like Abraham, but called a friend of God. That's exactly my aim. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be friends with God's people. I want to love God's people, and I want to continue in His church and loving the things that He has told us to do. But the main thing, here's my thought. You know, the main thing I believe is over there in is it Deuteronomy? I may be wrong, but it talks about it is better to obey than to sacrifice.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do. We need to obey God's Word. If you're obeying God's Word, then you're in safe ground. And that's exactly what we need. It's better to sacrifice, to obey what the Lord. And His commandments are not grievous. They're very simple. He's laid out all His commandments for us. And I believe they do hang under those two. Just putting the Lord first and putting your neighbor second. And then consider yourself. God bless you.